Right, today we can turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. This is a part two of a two-part mini-sermon series on the topic, the wonderful topic of work. And we were in Genesis chapter 2 last Sunday, and today we have a message from the New Testament here in Colossians 3. Last week we looked at a Christian theology of work. And some reasons why we work. Today, we're going to build on that, focusing on a Christ-centered New Testament perspective of work. And our title is as follows, Serving Our Lord Jesus Christ Through God-Glorifying Work. Here in Colossians 3, Paul is talking about godly living, godly family relationships and household relationships and so forth. And in verses 23 and 24, which we're going to read, he gives a summary statement that applies across the board for what we do with our lives. And so we're going to turn to those two verses and take a look at them, and then we'll also look at some other insights from Scripture. So Colossians 3, having been talking about living godly lives and godly family relationships, household relationships, and so forth, including bondservants with their masters. Colossians 3 and verse 23, Paul says this, Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you as that, Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one, King, crucified Savior, resurrected Lord, reigning High Priest, King of Kings who's coming back, hallelujah. We pray we'd experience you as we feed on your word, that we would be motivated to work heartily as we serve Jesus in whatever our work is, and that your joy would be our strength. Thank you for the rich, lofty theology in Scripture. Thank you for the practical commands it gives. We ask that you anoint the Word of God that our kids are feeding upon this hour as well, and bless us for another week of work, of witness, of watching and waiting for Christ to return in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to give just a brief introduction, basically just a review from last Sunday, and it will be brief, but I want to set the stage for today. So if you missed last Sunday, here's just a couple highlights. And I'll just summarize it this way, that we should work to worship and experience God. We were in Genesis chapter 2, and we took a look at kind of a foundational Christian theology of work and how we think about work. And in summary, we saw that God is a working God. The Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And for 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rested. God's a working God. God has created us in his image. We're image bearers of God. Part of what goes with that is that we work too. We bear his image. We represent his rule here on earth. Also, God put Adam in the garden to work it and to keep it. And those words work and keep, in the Hebrew, are sometimes translated minister and guard, and they're the same words that are given to the priest when he's serving in the tabernacle or the tent or later the temple. So the work that Adam was given is the same type of work that the priest was given, in the sense of it has to do with the presence of God, because the tabernacle, the temple, represents where God's presence is in a special way. And to begin with, that was in the garden. God created the whole universe. He had a special focus on the earth because that's where he put people, and people bear his image for his glory. here on the earth, he had a special focus in the garden because that's where humans started. And God's plan was that we would be fruitful, multiply, and as we spread throughout the earth, we would take the glory of God with us because we're his image bearers. But in the beginning, it was Adam in the garden, and he was put there to work it and to keep it. And then on that same day, that was day six, God then created Eve. And so she would have a part in that. And their work was to experience God and worship him. Because when God put Adam there in the garden to work it and to keep it, there was no sin. And Adam already had food. God told him, you can eat from any one of these trees except for one. Now, that doesn't mean that the work that Adam and Eve and their children were to do, had there never been sin, that it would not have related to food at all. But when Adam first began working, it wasn't because he needed food. God gave him food. And this is in complete contrast to the worldview at that time, where people thought that the gods, the multiple gods, created them because they had need for them, and they wanted us people to serve them. Now, God didn't create us because he needs us. He created us for his own glory. But in contrast to all that, God gave Adam food. But his work was primarily to worship God, to represent his rule, and to experience him as he did so. It's a beautiful picture. Now, sin messed all that up. But that foundational principle that we're called to work as a way of worshiping God and experience him is still true. And we have the promise that one day, our work, our service to God, will no longer be tainted and corrupted by sin, and it will no longer be with painful toil and so forth. And so we looked at all that last Sunday. So, with that in mind, two main points for today. Number one, work for our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, Paul kind of gives a summary statement about working, and he ends it with the driving motivation behind it all. At the end of verse 24, you are serving the Lord Christ. So the things that Paul says in verses 23 and 24, the reason Paul says those things, and we'll walk through them briefly in a moment, here's the reason why. Because we're serving Jesus, who's Lord. So this is why we should work this way. Because we're working for Jesus. We're working for his glory. We're working because we have a relationship with him. We work for our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just highlight here what Paul says. We work for our Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, in whatever we do. In other words, all the work that we do should be worship, and it should have eternal value if we're doing it in the Spirit's power, according to God's command, and for his glory. Work for our Lord Jesus Christ in whatever we do. This is how verse 23 starts off. Paul says, he's just given a whole list of commands in chapter 3, and then he says, whatever you do. Whatever we do, it should be working for our Lord Jesus Christ in whatever we do. Here in the context, he's been talking about family and household relationships and so forth. And our topic today is on work, so I'm going to focus on that. So, the work that you get paid for or the work you don't get paid for. In whatever you do, work because you're working for King Jesus. It's all worship. It all has eternal value if we're working for the Lord. Because even if it's something, you have to do the dishes and then the next day you have to do dishes sometimes twice in the same day, or you mow the yard and you got to mow it again. But if we're doing it out of an attitude of worship for God and it's our responsibility, it has eternal value. It gives him glory and it's helping build character. We saw some of that last Sunday. But whatever we do, whether it's work we get paid for or not, whatever you do, work for King Jesus. Going to doctor's appointments, doing the laundry, buying the groceries, the yard work, changing the diapers. Work for our Lord Jesus Christ in whatever you do. Also, whether it's, if it is a paid job, whether it's for a career or not. Some of our jobs that we get paid for, it might be a lifelong calling or career, or even sometimes that'll change. Other times, maybe we have a job, and to be blunt, we're just working this job because our family needs some more money. Or maybe we're working this job just because we're buying time until we get a better job, or we're trying to get through school, or whatever it might be. And there are some jobs that have more responsibilities, some jobs that we may have to give more priority to because of their importance. But whatever our jobs are, they have value if we're living our life for Christ and we're following His commands. So even if it is a paid job, we go through different seasons in life and so forth. But whether it's a career or, hey, we're just trying to pay the bills, work at it for the Lord. And also, if your work is, quote, ministry or not, we're to do whatever we do, work at it for the Lord. In the context here, Paul's not talking about ministry. So sometimes we'll talk about, well, I have a secular job. Well, okay, ministry is important. We're to take that seriously, whether it's we're paid for it or our volunteer ministry or whatever. And that shouldn't be downplayed. But if our work and most people's work is not going to be full-time ministry, it has eternal value and it's to be worship for God. And as we see in a little bit later in the sermon, that we're representing Christ in the different places that we go. So in whatever we do, let's work for our Lord Jesus Christ. Next thought. By giving it our all to glorify God and be the best that we can. Again, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily. Give it your all. Do the best that you can do. Are we doing this? And when we don't, do we confess it and seek to do better in the Spirit's power and move on? Cleaning the garage. Doing the gardening. I'm going to edit that paper that I got to turn in tomorrow. And I know I didn't quite do my best on it. So I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to seek to share the love and joy of Christ in my attitude, in my words, where I work and in school. I'm going to work heartily for the Lord to glorify Him. And you know, sometimes we'll think about the end result of something that we're doing or the benefit that comes from it. And some things have, at least from our human perspective, more benefit than others. And that's understandable. But if we're working hard in whatever we do, and we're doing it heartily, it glorifies God. Because God uses that to, among other things, to conform us into the image of Jesus. Also, we don't always know who's watching, the type of influence our actions will have, how that'll open up doors for the gospel. Also, the process or the journey or our heart is just as important as the end result of our work. So maybe we do some work and it just doesn't seem to have a big importance. But the process along the way is important because of who we're becoming as we work or as people are watching us or the people that we're around and so forth. And this goes for if you're a student. Working heartily, giving it your all. The book of Proverbs, heavy theme on wisdom, and it's directed toward youth and young people. It has obviously principles for all of us. But it begins, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. If you're a student, what a wonderful opportunity to get educated, to apply yourself. And God can use that. We need Christians in all different types of academic fields and so forth. And that doesn't mean everyone will be called to go off to college or pursue an academic degree. But we need Christians trained in all the different areas. And we even see examples of this in Scripture where God used people getting education and so forth and life experience and being ready for the future. We learn in Acts chapter 7 that Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds, which helped him lead God's people. Daniel chapter 1, talking about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're taken into Babylonian captivity, and for 3 years they're given a pagan education. And they learned the literature and the wisdom of the Babylonians. And God used that to prepare them to be the witnesses that they were called to be. Joseph, he's sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he's Potiphar's servant. And then he ends up in prison. All the while, those like a 13-year period, he's being prepared to become Pharaoh's right-hand man, although he didn't know it. And so then when Joseph would leave, he did it because through God's wisdom, and God spoke to him through dreams, but he also had all this life experience and so forth. Let's give it our all. Also, let's work for our Lord Jesus Christ to please the Lord, not people and not self. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. In this passage here, Paul has just got done speaking to bondservants who were like household servants in those days. And in verse 22, he says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord, seeking to do our job, to do our work, to do our studies in a way that pleases God. Now, pleasing the Lord can include doing what other people ask or wish. That's part of being a servant. But the motivation behind it should be that we want to honor and please the Lord, and we're trying to fulfill our responsibilities. So sometimes there's a fine line there, and sometimes we need to pray for discernment. But ultimately, our motivation should be, I'm working hard. I'm in all that I do, because I want to please the Lord. Whether I get recognition or not, whether people see it or not, I want to please the Lord. Not other people, and not self. We're very good at being self-centered, self-driven, self-glorifying people. But if we're working for our Lord Jesus Christ, it's for Him to please Him and not self. One other thing, and then we'll look at a few other things from Scripture. Work for our Lord Jesus Christ by looking forward to our inheritance as our reward from the Lord. Paul summarizes here in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord, okay, in whatever you do, work heartily to please the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. When we have work to do, whether we're getting paid for or not, whether it's our studies or employment or household chores or responsibilities, serving in the community, serving in ministry, we naturally think of, well, what's the benefit and what comes of it? And that's understandable, and that is important. But ultimately, the work that we're doing in this life, we're looking forward to an inheritance that's coming, that we get to share it. Hallelujah. And it's an inheritance that comes, first of all, it's by grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's an inheritance that God gives us by grace. But at the same time, we're called to work hard with the grace that God has given us. And in Christianity, and this is true with multiple topics, it's helpful not to overemphasize one thing at the expense of something else. So when we think about our inheritance and the reward that's coming, first of all, this eternal life, but also Scripture gives us this implication that what we do in this life does have bearing on the responsibilities that we have in the next life. But all of it is because of grace. If we're serving Jesus, it's because God in His grace has called us to Himself and has caused us to be born again. But nevertheless, we have a part in that. Our first part is, will we put our faith in Jesus? And then the second of all is, then what will we do with what God's done in our life? And I think I shared this last Sunday with the example from the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the resurrection. And then he makes this interesting statement where he's talking about the apostles and the work that he'd done. And he says, I worked harder than the rest of them, but not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, I forget which verse, but it's a great verse where Paul emphasizes two things. The hard work that Paul does as an apostle. He worked hard, But he recognized it was the grace of God that was with him that enabled him to do so. What a beautiful balance. Nevertheless, in all of that, why work hard, heartily, in whatever we do? Because we're working for our Lord Jesus, and we have an inheritance that's coming of eternal life with God, resurrected bodies that will never grow old, never feel pain, in a world where a new heaven and earth where we're serving God, and it won't be through painful toil. There'll be no more fear of can't pay the bills, no fear of a child being kidnapped. Won't be concerned about what's going on in our communities or neighborhood. We'll be able to serve God without a sin nature, without temptation, without bitterness, without any division among the people of God. And it'll be glorious. Main point number two. Some other biblical principles on how to work. I'll just give a few. There's a lot that could be said. I'll just give a few examples. And this now drawing from the rest of Scripture to go along with what Paul was saying here. Here's one thing. Seek God's will through prayer, through wise counsel, and with kingdom priorities. When we think about the work that we're doing, and if we're growing in Christ, to some degree this comes natural, but we need to be intentional about it. When we think about the work that we're doing, have we and are we making sure that the work we're doing is God's will? If we have a job, is this where God wants us? And sometimes we may not know, and we have to keep moving forward amidst the ambiguity or the grayness of life. That is part of faith. But part of the way that we submit to God's will is by, first of all, are we even seeking it? The job that we have, or the areas that we're volunteering, or the work that we're doing, or maybe the work we're not doing that we should be. Are we seeking God's will for what he wants us to do? And there's different ways that we do that. One is, a big way, is through prayer. And it might be praying, Lord, maybe I have this job and I don't want it, or maybe I like it, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to keep it. And lift it up to prayer. Maybe there's a change coming in your life. It's going to be a new season, or you're going to move, or something's going to happen. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And there's multiple things with that, one of which is it's a way of surrendering that part of your life over to God. We say, Lord, what is your will? And we acknowledge, I may not know what you want for me, Lord. But covering the work that we do, the jobs that we have, covering that with prayer. Also seeking wise counsel, as Proverbs instructs young people to do, and across the board. And wise counsel coming from Christians, but also there can be people who are not Christians who might be very wise in a certain area. And you want to filter that through what Scripture says. But learning from wise counsel, getting advice, having the humility to receive it, and then through all of that, that we're seeking God's will related to the work that we're doing with kingdom priorities. In other words, it's not just, I'm going to live my life for what I want to do, and then I'll pray for God's blessing and wisdom along the way. No, it's to rise out of a life where God and his kingdom gets priority. This is a similar thing to what Paul starts chapter 3 on. In verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Being heavenly minded so that we are earthly good, as they say. So, seek God's will about the work that we do, whether it's work we get paid for or not. And cover it in prayer. Seek wise counsel. And have kingdom priorities about your life, serving God, and so forth. Here's another one. Be Christ's ambassadors who submit to authority and exercise godly authority. I think I referenced this earlier. Sometimes it's hard when you're preaching and you're saying something and you know, but oh, that point was supposed to come later. But anyways, here's part of the reason why all work is important. Whether we get paid for it or not, whether it's ministry or not, whether it's a career job or not. Because wherever we're at and whatever we're doing, we represent Christ if we're a Christian. We are ambassadors of Christ, as Paul references in 2 Corinthians 5. The United States has ambassadors that represent the United States and the president in all these different countries. As Christians, we have a high calling of being an ambassador, a representative of Jesus wherever we go. And so we want to work hard for the Lord, because even if the job we're doing isn't super important in the grand scheme of things, just the fact that we're the ones doing it as Christians is important. Not to mention other things already referenced. But we're to be Christ's ambassadors. So when we think about the work we're doing, recognize we represent Jesus when we're working. When we're vacuuming the floor at home. When we're doing hard work that maybe people don't see. Whether it's in our jobs and so forth, we're ambassadors for Christ. And now let me say two things that go hand in hand with that. We're to submit to our authority, and we're to exercise godly authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says in verse 13, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put silence to the ignorance of foolish people." Here's part of how we represent Christ, how we be his ambassadors when it relates to work. When we're under authority, we seek to submit to that authority and work hard. Now, obviously, if that authority is calling us to do something that compromises God's word, we don't do it. And that doesn't mean we don't ever speak up or we don't ever seek change. But just generally speaking, honor the authorities over us. Have a submissive, servant-hearted spirit. Also, exercise godly authority. We need Christians in all different places having a godly influence as servants, also as leaders who have authority. In the schools, in government, in the HR departments, in management. On the assembly line, driving the trucks, coaches, school board members, parents. We need Christian churches and ministries. Christians who are exercising godly authority. So where we seek to be submissive to the human authority that's over us, we're also recognizing some of us may have authority by the very nature of the positions we have. And we want to represent that really well. And even if you're someone who's not in any type of leadership position, whether it's ministry or work or in the home, if you're a Christian, you have authority. Ephesians 2, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we pray, there's power. We're representing the rule of Christ here on earth. We're to do that as servants. We're to do that boldly. We have an authority as a child of God. We're not to be arrogant about it, but we have a godly authority even if we don't have a position of authority in a human sense. Let's represent Christ well. Before this next point, I'll share this. I think Bob, Kevin, and I, we went to this conference where the theme was on work several years ago, and it was Pastor Lee Eklev from the Free Church a little bit south of us. And he gave three helpful things here about a theology of work as it relates to our authorities. So he says, one, we submit to the boss, but we reverence the Lord. Two, we may be employed by the man, but we work for the Lord. And three, it's not our salary that matters, but our inheritance. Moving on. Rejoice in the Lord. And take a day off. Yes. Take a day off.
Amen.
Amen. Here's part of how we should work. Take a day off. First, the rejoicing in the Lord. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say,
rejoice.
Let's try that one more time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say,
rejoice.
All right, rejoice. That includes when we're working. Rejoice. And again, that doesn't mean if we're in a bad circumstance that we don't seek change. We do, and that's part of seeking godly counsel and prayer. But let's be people who rejoice, including in our work, and we give thanks and so forth. But also, we should be people who take a day off. In the Old Testament, the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you rest, as modeled after the creation week. And that was for the good of the Israelites. It was also part of how the Israelites showed that they belonged to Yahweh, the Lord. And the other nations around them weren't doing that. Now, one of the complicated or challenging things for us as Christians is the New Testament doesn't explain to us how Christians should live that out. And there's some practical things that are different because, first of all, we're no longer Old Testament Israel all gathered together in a nation that is following the laws of God. In some ways, we're the opposite. We are the scattered people of God throughout all the nations. So that's a whole sermon in of itself. Just at this point, I would say a couple things that recognize the principle behind part of what's going on there, and that is that we take a day off. And God has structured the week to be 7 days. And if you're in a situation where that doesn't seem practically possible, maybe ask for some help or get some counsel. But to find where you don't have to work 7 days a week. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't work involved on your day off. If you're a farmer and you've got livestock, if you're someone who doesn't like the dishes to pile up, maybe you will still do the dishes quote on your day off. Maybe you're someone who you have to be on call on your job or something. So there's all kinds of different circumstances that come into play. But as much as we can, take a day off. Rest and enjoy the Lord. Last thought. Trust God's sovereignty and pray for God's favor, God's protection, and God's deliverance. One of the challenging things in life is trusting God. But if we are seeking to do His will, if we are working for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are doing these other things that we've been looking at these last 2 weeks, those things are all important. And as we're doing those things, we should move forward with a sense of a trust in the sovereignty of God, related to the work He's given us to do, related to opportunities that maybe we'll have or maybe we won't have, but we trust His sovereignty over us. And as we do that, we pray, which I mentioned earlier, but let me add on that. Here's one thing to pray as it relates to the work that you do, whether you get paid for it or not, whether it's ministry or not. Pray for God's favor. Pray for His favor on your household work. Pray for God's favor on your job. Pray for God's favor on your ministry. And not so that God bless me to bless me so I can have things my way, but no, God's favor so that He gets the glory, so that we become more like Jesus, so that the Spirit's power is moving in power. Pray for His favor upon you. He loves you. Pray for His protection. Maybe it's the bully at school. Maybe it's the abusive or boss or the one that exploits you. A jealous coworker. Maybe there's physical danger in your job. Pray for God's protection. And pray for God's deliverance. Maybe you're in a trial. Maybe you're in, whether it's studies related or work or ministry, maybe there's something going on that's dangerous or there's a problem. We want to grow in Christ and we want to learn whatever lessons God has for us. But if it's a trial, bring it before Him and ask for His deliverance and wait on His time. And ultimately, do so as we wait for King Jesus to return. And when that happens, we'll get to work, we'll get to serve Him. There'll be no sin, there'll be no pain, it'll be really good. Let's pray.